I forgot to make the most obvious announcement of all. Bobby's not here. His whole family, I guess, is at home this morning. Bobby and Denise both are sick, and I thought I heard somebody say Rachel was sick. So they're not having a good day. So by all means, let's keep them in our thoughts and our prayers. He called me yesterday, about 2 hours before Travis's wedding, and asked me if I could preach this morning, and I didn't have anything ready. So what I did was I took a response that I made to an email that Bobby had received, and he forwarded it on to me. And he had made some comments regarding a lesson that he had downloaded and listened to, and I used that for my sermon today, because that's about all I had time to work on under that short of notice. And anyway, this individual based his opinions on the belief that God is still making his will known through the means of modern day revelation. In other words, it is his belief that God communicates directly with man today through the prophets and or apostles, just like he did in the past. The name of this lesson this morning is, What Does the Bible Say About Modern Day Revelation? The purpose of this lesson is to examine what the Word of God teaches regarding modern day revelation in order to ascertain whether or not this is the truth. The purpose of examining any doctrine which is different than our beliefs is so that we can ultimately compare it with our own and, if need be, make any necessary corrections. Paul commanded the Christians in Corinth to examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. And we read that in 2 Corinthians 13:5. We are to subject ourselves to a critical self-examination. Our beliefs and practices must be in the faith, meaning according to God's will. We have before us today a doctrine which claims modern-day revelation. Now, we in the churches of Christ believe that the written Word of God is the inspired and complete revelation of God, and that it is accurate, authoritative, and sufficient to give us the information required for salvation. In short, we believe everything we need to know in order to be saved is contained within the written record of God's Word. It cannot be both ways. One or the other is the truth. The other is a lie. What does the Bible teach concerning this? Number one, the Bible states that God's complete will for man was revealed in the first century when the church was established. Peter wrote in his second epistle, in chapter 1, starting in verse 2, Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. According to Peter, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of God was delivered at the time he wrote that. Peter stated in words that are impossible to misunderstand that all the knowledge which was necessary to live a life of godliness had already been given, had already been delivered. If you want to turn to Jude 3, we will find an interesting verse there. And we looked at this verse in detail in our Bible class on Jude. In Jude 3, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The word that we want to call our attention to in the original language is the word hapax, which is translated in the King James Version as once in respect to the word delivered, once. This Greek word has a very specific meaning. It carries the meaning of once for all, of what is of perpetual validity, not requiring repetition. simply stated, the faith that was once for all, hapax, the Greek word hapax, delivered is forever valid and it will never need to be repeated. Such is the meaning of that Greek word. The Bible plainly teaches that all we need to know in order to live a godly life has been fully revealed. It is forever valid, and it does not need to be revealed again. One must ask why additional revelation today would even be necessary, since we know the early church had all the knowledge they needed revealed to them almost 2,000 years ago. Number two, the Bible states that Scripture is inspired and sufficient. Now, if we will turn to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. This is a very familiar passage that we're all very familiar with. That's 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. We want to pay close attention to the way this is worded. And it reads, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. It means complete. Throughly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture, meaning there's no Scripture left out. Inspired means it's revealed by God. So we see now that everything we have recorded for us in the Bible, everything is revealed by God. That means that all Scripture is accurate, authoritative, and trustworthy. Paul went on to say that the man of God may be perfect. This Greek word carries the meaning of completeness. That the man of God may be complete. Thoroughly furnished or equipped unto all good works. Now, when one is equipped with the knowledge required for all good works, that means there are no good works out there for which we are not equipped. The Bible claims to be complete. The Bible claims to be sufficient. Now, so far we have learned that the Bible teaches within itself that all we need to know in order to live a godly life has been fully revealed, is forever valid, and does not need to be revealed again. And what has been recorded for us by the direct revelation of God can make and complete and furnish us totally. Why would additional revelation be required today, since the Bible teaches that everything we need to know was revealed and recorded almost 2,000 years ago? Number three, the Bible teaches us that the Word of God lasts forever. Since the Bible teaches that everything we need to know was revealed and recorded, the only other possible reason, the only other possible logical reason for any revelation, any spiritual revelation or divine revelation today, would be that if what was revealed and recorded has been corrupted, and that we don't have an accurate account of what was revealed in the first century. That'd be the only reason left. Let's consider 1 Peter 1:23 through 25. If you want to turn to that, we'll read that. Those two verses there, three verses. 1 Peter 1:23 through 25. And again, we want to pay close attention to the wording of this text. In 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the Word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Peter taught that the word of God is living and abiding, which means continuing in its present condition. He then taught that it endures forever, which means to hold out against damage or corruption for all of time. If what we have today is not what was revealed and recorded in the first century, then God's word did not abide. It did not continue on in its present condition. And it did not endure. That means it did not hold out against damage. It didn't hold up to the corruption of man for all of time. 1 Peter 1:23 through 25 is our assurance that what we have recorded for us today is what they had revealed for them in the first century. The Bible teaches us that everything we need to know for a life of godliness was revealed and recorded in the first century and preserved for all of time. Since everything we need to know was revealed, recorded, and preserved, then there is no reason whatsoever for any additional revelation. The earlier Christians had what they needed, and we have today what they had then. Number four, the Bible claims to be the exclusive source for truth. Not only does the Bible teach that it is inspired, accurate, authoritative, and sufficient, it also forbids going to any other source other than itself for instruction. The inspired writers commanded their readership to not think or go beyond what has been written. And we read that in 1 Corinthians 4:6. John wrote in 2 John 9, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. And I use the New American Standard Bible for that translation, because it more accurately communicates what the original language meant. The Greek in this particular verse carries the meaning of going beyond where one is authorized to go. One can depart and abide not in the doctrine of Christ by going beyond, or going too far, or going where one is not authorized to go. In Revelation 22, 18 and 19, we read of God's curse on those who add to or take away from His words. This attitude echoes His sentiments regarding the Old Testament law as well. In Deuteronomy 4, 2 and Deuteronomy 12, 32, we see God's express command not to add to or take away from the law of Moses. Concerning this very thing, Solomon wrote in Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Now we do not live under the law of Moses today, but we can surely see from an examination of Scripture that additions or subtractions of God's will from any covenant was and is forbidden. Number five, the Bible teaches us that we are to reject the teachings of men. The Bible gives us severe warnings over perverting the gospel message. Paul pronounced a curse on any who teach a gospel other than the one delivered in the first century, Galatians 1, 8 through 9. When John warned his readership not to go too far in 2 John 9, he went on in verses 10 and 11 for anybody that wants to turn there. 2 John 9, 10 and 11. To forbid any association with false doctrine at all. 2 John 10 and 11 reads, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Now, which doctrine is John talking about here? John says, does not bring this doctrine. Which doctrine is this doctrine? This doctrine is the one John had, which was and is the complete revelation of the knowledge of God's will for man at the dawn of the Christian age. This doctrine is the faith that was once for all delivered. This doctrine is the one that thoroughly furnishes us unto all good works. This is the doctrine that is capable of making us complete and thoroughly equipping us for every good work. This is the doctrine that lives and abides forever. The Scriptures teach us to reject anyone teaching any other doctrine, and then warns us that if we do, we are a partaker in their evil. If a doctrine does not come from God, it has to come from man's additions or subtractions from God's Word. The Bible also teaches us that our worship is vain if we follow as doctrine the commandments of men. We read that in Mark 7:7 and Matthew 15:9. The only way I know of to assure myself that I am not worshiping according to the commandments of men is to adhere strictly to the Bible, which claims to be inspired or coming from God, and use no other source as my authority. If there is divine revelation today, then the Scriptures which recorded all the knowledge required to live a godly life in the first century cannot be the exclusive source for truth which it claims to be. If there is divine revelation today, then we would have to transgress the Word of God in order to obey it. God is not the author of confusion. He is not going to forbid going to any source other than what was revealed and recorded in the first century, and then 18 centuries later turn around and reveal something we need to know, and then expect us to violate His original Word in order to live faithfully. So now, what the implications of this is, are we to believe we have two sources for God's truth, separated by 1,800 years? The oldest one claims to be inspired, accurate, authoritative, sufficient, perpetual, and it forbids us to go to something else for our instruction. And now, are we to believe that roughly 18 years later we have something else for instruction? I think not. We have the New Testament from the first century, which forbids us to go to another testament. And now, in the 21st century, do we have another testament? No, that doesn't even make any sense. In conclusion, the Bible teaches us that we do not need modern day revelation. When God delivered the knowledge necessary to live a godly life, He delivered it all. 2 Peter 1:2. The Bible teaches us that Scriptures are inspired. That means God inspired them all. The Bible teaches us that the Scriptures are sufficient and equip us to every good work. Concerning the works of righteousness and obedience to God's will, we have it all. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. We do not need additional revelation. The Bible teaches us that God's Word will endure and is preserved for us. He preserved it all. And it endured it all. 1 Peter 1:23 and 25. We do not need any additional revelation. The Bible claims to be the exclusive source of God's Word today concerning any teaching more than or less than what can be found in the Bible. It excluded it all. 1 Corinthians 4:6. 2 John 9 and Revelation 22, 18 through 19. There cannot be any additional revelation. The Bible is our sole instruction manual for living a godly life. Any teaching which is less than what can be found therein is incomplete. It's not enough. Any teaching which is more than what is revealed and recorded is too much. We've gone too far. Our course of action is clear and true. God says His Word is complete, so we better believe Him. God says His Word completely equips us, we better believe Him. God says His Word is recorded by His inspiration, we believe Him. God says His Word endures forever, we believe Him. People living in the first century who obeyed the Word of God then were saved. People who lived according to what they knew in the first century were saved. They lived, they died faithfully, they're going to heaven. They had what they needed. They were complete. They lived according to the revealed truth and were saved. We have what they had. We can obey the same faith they followed, believe how they believed, worship the way they worshiped, and live how they lived in absolute assurance of the hope we have in Christ. We have everything that they had. And we have the assurance of the Bible that it's there, it's complete, and it's reliable, and it's trustworthy. It says that within its own pages. In the invitation today, God's complete, inspired, enduring, accurate, and authoritative Word teaches us in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We must believe and have faith. God's complete, inspired, enduring, accurate, and authoritative Word teaches us in Acts 17:30 that God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We must repent. Turn to God and do works befitting repentance. Acts 26:20. God's complete, inspired, enduring, accurate, and authoritative Word teaches us in Matthew 10:32-33, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. We must confess Jesus Christ as our Savior and as the Son of God. God's complete, inspired, enduring, accurate, and authoritative Word teaches us in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. It also teaches us in John 3:5, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We must be baptized, born again of the water and the Spirit, if we are to have any hope of living in the kingdom of God. Obedience to baptism is the only way God will forgive anyone of their past sins who are living today on this side of the crucifixion of Christ on the cross. God's complete, inspired, enduring, accurate, and authoritative Word teaches us in Hebrews 5:9 that Jesus is the author of salvation for all who obey Him. And in Ephesians 6:6, that our obedience must not be with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And finally, God's complete, inspired, enduring, accurate, and authoritative Word teaches us in Revelation 2:10 to be faithful unto death, and I, Jesus Christ, will give you the crown of life. If there is anything that anybody needs in here today, if they want to be baptized and put Christ on in baptism for the remission of their sins, if they need the prayers of the saints, if they have not been faithful, if there's any need whatsoever, now is the time to let it be known as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.